This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hey, hey, what do you say? Are you ready for the bomb cyclone? Or is it already happening? I don't really know. I got to admit, it's the first time in my life I've ever heard the term bomb cyclone. And you know, I consider myself a bit of a wordsmith. I like big vocabulary words. I like SAT words and dropping them on the show. It's my goal tonight to use the term calamitous on the show. Well, there's always some kind of a calamity going on in sports. All kinds of drama all the time, but calamitous to describe the way something's played out on the court or the field or the ice. I got to be honest, I heard it with Sean Grandy on the Celtics radio network the last couple of games I've listened to, and he says it's one of his favorite words, so I told him I was going to use it on the show. But isn't that a great one? Calamitous. I don't know if calamitous and bomb cyclone can go in the same sentence or not, but I tweeted it not that long ago that before today, I'd never heard the term bomb cyclone before, and then I started researching it. It's actually a thing. Bomb cyclones occur about once a year, according to meteorologists. You know, all of them collectively. Just kidding. I always laugh when people talk about the media in all one brain. Why can't I log into Twitter? Excuse me. I apparently cannot type my password in at the same time that I'm talking to. So, I started researching bomb cyclones, and it's a real thing. No, I did, because I want to be Jim Cantore. I really do. Or Stephanie Abrams, I guess, since she's a female. It's also called a bombogenesis, which I feel like is a much cooler term than bomb cyclone.
Yes!
But bomb cyclones, or bombogenesis, has to do with a very deep drop in pressure. So I'll give you the exact definition in case you're wondering, or maybe you're actually in the in an area in the South that had the effects of the bomb cyclone. A rapidly intensifying area of low pressure has something to do with 24 millibars, which I couldn't tell you what that is. I didn't research millibars. But I tweeted this and heard from a couple of meteorologists, or maybe they're Twitter meteorologists, because, you know, on Twitter, you can find doctors, you can find experts on pretty much everything, including meteorology. Maybe some expert on meteorology can tell me why the air condition is on in this studio when it's a balmy 15 degrees outside and we're about to get bombed by the cyclone. Wait, can somebody come turn? I mean, either I have to get up out of this chair and turn off that air condition, or somebody has to do it because my teeth are about to start shattering. I guess I can put my coat back on.
What temperature?
I don't know. I just start to feel the cold air blowing on me. It's like payback for the fact that I'm talking about bomb cyclones. Yeah, just make the air stop. Thank you. So anyway, if you thought a bomb cyclone or a bombogenesis, what are you doing? Turning it up to 80? Oh, great. It won't move. The air condition's going to stay on me all night. All right. Well, I guess I'll be tweeting a picture of me wearing my hat, my gloves, my coat, and all bundled up. If you didn't think a bomb cyclone or a bombogenesis was a real thing, well then.
Bomb.
That's right. You better start to research it. So we're going to do a bomb cyclone of a show. Feel like if it's a once in a year thing, that this better be damn good. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and the CBS Sports app. Hello to you too. Thanks so much for tuning in. Busy night on the NBA hard court with some drama, of course. When is there not? I know that we haven't started talking about the NBA or hockey, actually, the winter sports, to the point where it's every night and it's all the storylines. We will, once we get through football season, of course. But there are still storylines that catch my eyeballs. And there were a few of them tonight. I got some great basketball nerd alerts coming up a little bit later on. And so we'll do some hoops. We'll run full court, try to keep up. I don't think that I can run full court with my coat and my winter boots on, so you probably could beat me up and down the court tonight. But as we had Isaiah Thomas making his NBA debut last night, tonight it was the Cavaliers in Boston. However, IT did not play. So he was honored by the Celtics with a video tribute, and he had a chance to see his old coaches and old teammates, and it was really cool to see the big smile on his face. And he said he almost went into the visitor's locker, or he almost went into the home locker room, not the visitor's locker room, because it felt so strange to be walking in there as a Cavalier. But he was back. Kyrie Irving did play. Isaiah Thomas did not. So we didn't get them both on the same court together. But that was one of the storylines. Thunder and Lakers, too. There were a couple of fantastic finishes, like Steph Curry hitting a game winner against the Dallas Mavericks in the DFW. I mean, it's Dallas, not Fort Worth, but the Metro, as opposed to being in the Bay Area. So some fun hoop storylines that we'll get to. We're going to do a little more of the NFL postseason preview. I prefer cheat sheet. Cheat sheet or cliff notes. Something that's a little more creative than preview. And one of the games that we've got on Saturday, in fact, the very first game of the NFL postseason, are the Titans and the Chiefs on the field together. And then, of course, the Falcons and Rams after that. That's your Saturday doubleheader, but it's the Titans. It is Marcus Mariota. What does he call him? Marcus Mariota.
Mariota.
I was close. I can't even do it. I try to say it as badly as the commissioner, but I can't.
Thank you.
Mariota. Wait, what does he say again? Mariota.
Marcus Mariota.
So awkward.
He's an idiot.
Oh, stop it. Come on, Kevin Durant, like you've never mispronounced someone's name. I can't make fun of anyone for mispronouncing people's names or getting names wrong because, heavens, it happens on this show at approximately the rate of several times per hour. Last night I called Andre Reed Andre Dawson. I mean, I get this kind of stuff wrong all the time. So I will never make fun of someone else. I will laugh with you or near you, but I will never make fun of you for getting a name wrong.
You're the real MVP.
Thank you. So the Titans are in the playoffs for the first time since 2008. And coming up in a half hour, we'll head to Nashville. Kind of a cool, it's a different calendar year, but a cool run that they've been on, not only having the Predators and all of the excitement in Music City over the Preds getting to the Stanley Cup final, but also now the Titans snapping what has been a extended playoff drought. Not as long as the Buffalo Bills, but long, nearly a decade. And so kind of cool to have the Titans back into the playoffs. It's one of those teams that we talk about, the fresh blood. We had started this question late on yesterday's show. So not until I think the third hour did I bring it up, but you did send me your thoughts on Twitter throughout the day, A-Law Radio. And then I would love to take more of your calls and kind of talk about this idea a little more. Dark horses among the playoff newbies. Titans certainly fit that bill. The Rams fit that bill. The Bills obviously are a playoff newbie. It's been a long time. It's been so much fun to see guys like Kyle Williams react to being into the playoffs for the first time in his career, not to mention scoring a touchdown as a defensive lineman going back to Sunday, kind of a big deal for them as they were trying to take care of their own business before the Bengals came back to beat the Ravens. And speaking of that, did you know that Bills fans are not only supporting Andy Dalton's charity, the Andy and Jordan Dalton Foundation, they're also pouring money into Tyler Boyd's charity. Whatever it happens to be, Tyler Boyd, the receiver who caught that 49-yard touchdown, is also taking donations for his own charity. So Bills fans are extremely generous. They're happy, and so they are generous. And I guess maybe if they're stuck inside. Now, I don't think Buffalo had the same amount of snow as Erie did between Christmas and New Year's. Do y'all remember the story? There was a record 53 inches of snow in 24 hours in the Erie area. Lake effect snow, obviously crazy. It can happen up there at any time, but that was extreme. So maybe there were some Bills fans who are not only happy, but also snowed in. Oh my gosh. So yes, Bills fans, you are impressing me with your generosity and your eye toward charity. Dalton, by the way, continues to give updates on his Twitter account about the generosity of Buffalo sports fans.
So here's the update for today. We are now over 10,000 donors. We're just shy of $250,000. We cannot thank everybody enough. This has been just so amazing to see just how supportive people are, how much people are blessing us with these donations, and the impact that it's going to make is going to be huge. So thank you. Let's keep it up. And again, I'll keep updating as time goes on. Thanks.
Awesome. Just awesome. Now, you don't get to count these as charitable donations on your taxes for the 2017 year, but make sure you keep those receipts too, because those will be great for your tax receipts or your tax returns come next year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. My Twitter is A-Law Radio, and our Facebook page is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Following the show, if you missed my conversation with longtime Pro Bowl wide receiver Steve Tasker of Buffalo Bills fame, he was fantastic. He joined us in the last hour of our previous show, and it was awesome to hear his reaction to that Ravens loss. So the Bengals touchdown that Andy Dalton is still collecting donations for, but also the reaction inside the visitors locker room in Miami where the Bills were all watching. And he told us that he'd watched it 10 times and he could watch it 10 times more. And what I thought was neat was to hear him talk about the group texting that he does with his Hall of Fame teammates like Jim Kelly and Andre Reed and Thurman Thomas, who I had a chance to work with last year. So if you missed that conversation, it's on our YouTube channel. First thing that's posted on the YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I guess it's the last thing, but it's the first thing that you shall see, because Isaac, who is our YouTube administrator, he put that up after we got done with the show. So we're going to do some playoff preview. We're going to talk a little hoops. And in addition to that, I have kind of an interesting question. I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer, but definitely strong opinions. And it's come into the forefront yet again following Black Monday, as teams are looking for new head coaches, but not just head coaches, new general managers. There's this idea of whether or not the Rooney Rule is being followed correctly, or if it should even be a guideline for NFL teams, considering that A, it's not followed all the time, and B, it can be a token. It can be about the letter of the law more than the spirit of the law, but also it's not really up to the NFL to police it. Sometimes the league offices do, and sometimes they don't. It's more supposed to be on your honor system. It's a suggestion more than it is, let's say, a law that you can be punished for not following by losing draft picks or something that harsh. So I was asked about it when I joined an Oklahoma City radio show on Wednesday. And I thought it was an interesting conversation. So I might bring that up, or I want to bring that up and hear what you have to say. Anyway, lots to do tonight. Our fourth show of the work week inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, whether it's YouTube, we're all over the place. You just can't get rid of us. It's like a bad rash. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Rosen throws, back pylon, caught, touchdown! give the Bruins the lead.
Darnold rolls right. That's right. Throws at the 30. 25. 20. Uh-oh. Angle across the block. To the 10. To the 5. It's a touchdown. I do not believe what I have just seen happen here on the last play of the first half at the Coliseum.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We had two declarations by young QBs from the state of California. Bruins and Trojans, UCLA, USC, will both be needing new quarterbacks next season because their respective QBs are bolting for the NFL. Brandon Gowden and Pete Arbogast on the two highlights. First for the Bruins, the UCLA Bruins, and then for the USC Trojans. And I'm sure it wasn't planned, right? It couldn't have been coordinated. It's like two people showing up with a similar outfit, but they didn't actually talk to each other ahead of time. Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold were often in the same sentences during this college football season for obvious reasons. Both of their schools in Los Angeles, the top two college programs, and they're both very high-profile NFL prospects. Now, are the NFL ready? That's a completely different question. But they have both indicated that they will be foregoing the rest of their eligibility and trying their hand at the NFL draft come the springtime. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, cbsportsradio.com. In case you don't know this, the Browns and the Giants hold the top two picks in the upcoming NFL draft, and both of them presumably are interested in quarterbacks. Now, I don't know how it's going to play out. We could have said the same thing about the Browns in recent years, and while they did draft QBs, none of them have panned out. This would be a chance to potentially bring in a face of the franchise, except everything I hear about these two guys is that they're not ready for the pros. That they are projects, that they are guys who maybe have the raw ability, the potential. There's a lot to like about them, but there's also a lot more development that is necessary. So if you've seen them play, what do you think? Josh Rosen is the young man who indicated that he would rather be a lower draft pick for the right team than be a high draft pick for the wrong team. And he was roundly criticized for that. It came on the heels of a report that he was not interested in playing for the Browns and would prefer to play somewhere else, and that he might even go back to school or remain in school, I should say, rather than be selected, or rather than come out and be chosen number one overall and be selected by the Cleveland Browns, who, let's face it, have been a revolving door for quarterbacks at best, and a black hole for quarterbacks at worst in recent years. Now, Rosen is a guy who has got the athletic, prototypical NFL type of build. So he's tall, he's got the arm. He certainly is mobile, but he's not a running quarterback. This is a guy that maybe fits more the idea of an NFL QB. His team didn't play well. In fact, the last two seasons, if I'm not mistaken, the Bruins have been below 500. He stayed healthy until a concussion kept him out of their game against Utah. And then he ended up missing the bowl game for the Bruins with another concussion. So that, a bit of a concern. He suffered multiple concussions this season. Something else that's been a question about Josh Rosen is, I don't want to say his personality, because that's not it, but kind of brash comments that he's made on everything from politics to just the hot tubs. And I mean, this guy is, he's really toned it down this year. And that was something that NFL scouts were a little bit concerned about, maybe drawing too much attention to himself for some of his brash and bold comments and, you know, just running his mouth. And we've seen that plenty. We've seen it on the field with Baker Mayfield. Rosen was more of a guy who was using his social media and making comments that not necessarily had anything to do with football, just kind of putting himself out there and being a little bit controversial, which, you know, is not something that NFL teams are excited about. They'd prefer you be a little more vanilla and not draw too much attention to yourself off the field. But again, he's got the build, he's got the arm, he's a guy that's got the pure talent. So that part is not in question. The questions were more about the leadership and more about, can he be a professional? He's got the classic throwing motion, but can he be a classic leader in the NFL and not be a distraction? So those are kind of the questions about Josh Rosen. Now, Darnold is a completely different situation. And while Josh Rosen took to, what was it, Instagram? I don't know. They both announced them on their social media. Josh released a statement. Darnold took to Instagram with a video.
Hey, Trojan fans. This is Sam Darnold. After talking to my immediate family, very close friends, and many people who have helped me throughout my life, I have made the decision to declare for the 2018 NFL Draft. I've been blessed that my life has been full of memorable moments and wonderful people. The people who have been involved in making me the man I am today have prepared me for the life and decisions that I have to make in the future. I want to thank you guys for everything that you guys have given me from day one, and I love you guys, and thank you so much for all the support that you have shown me. Again, thank you, Trojan family, and thank you for everything. Fight on.
So, yeah, just it's so 2018.
Oh, stop it,
Rogers. Whatever. You've got some awkward social media crap, too. Let's just be honest. Not to mention you believe in UFOs, and we know all about your UFO sightings. So, okay, we talked about Josh Rosen a little bit. Sam Darnold, same boat, guy who's been criticized for every mistake he's made this year, and the pendulum has swung back and forth, because it's been an inconsistent up and down year. USC had a better record than UCLA, and what scouts like about Sam Darnold is that he's got this moxie and this guile, this clutch kind of gene where he rises to the occasion. Similar to, say, a Baker Mayfield, he also can throw really well on the run. So this is a guy who is comfortable in motion, chucking the ball while he's on the run. The thing is, his mechanics aren't, I don't want to say they're not solid, because they work for him, but maybe this is not fair, but if I say to you Lonzo Ball and the way he shoots and how his mechanics are, you know, they're not exactly what an NBA team would like. Well, it may be that way with Sam Darnold. Not that ugly. Just, you know, not traditional. And so Darnold is a guy that, you know, there's a lot of raw potential there. Just not a whole lot of polish. So a little more polish for Rosen. He's had another year under his belt too. I've also heard the term, and I thought this was interesting, hoppy, about Sam Darnold. He's hoppy. What does hoppy mean about a quarterback? Jittery and hoppy. Those are the two terms.
A little too much movement in the feet.
Yeah, a little bit too skittish.
Yeah.
So Darnold, younger for sure, but maybe younger in his development as a QB too. And not quite that perfect God type of a QB athletic specimen that you might see in a Josh Rosen, and how, you know, scouts go gaga over him because he's got the perfect build and he's got the arm and he stands in the pocket. And so they're both projects, and it'll just be interesting to see what happens at the top of the draft. There are a lot of QBs in this draft, but so many people that I've heard talk about it have described them still all as projects. None of them is a step on the field and kill it right away kind of a guy.
Yeah, if there is, it's Rosen. That's the only guy that people seem to think. But you're right. Darnold, to me, it's a little sloppy. You talked about the mechanics. It's a little sloppy. The thing that he has, though, that he shows flashes, he can make throws in the weirdest positions where they're on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I mean, the best example I can give you, it's not this, but the best example I can give you is Aaron Rodgers, where he'll make a throw moving to his left across his body on a dime 35 yards down the field. And you're like, how the hell did you make that throw?
Exactly.
But there's a lot of mistakes and there's a lot of sloppiness with his mechanics that make you wonder, yeah, you can make the most difficult throw, and we obviously see the talent, but can you make the consistent, constant plays every down?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't have, you know, 12 great plays and throw three picks, because those three picks are going to kill you.
Right.
So, I mean, look, there's a lot of talent. It's just a question of what suits your needs and what you think is going to be best.
Right. And certainly not just about the system, but also about the coaches that you have and what type of developers they are for QBs, too. So interesting. It'll be interesting. I think that there's so many NFL teams that are looking to potentially draft QBs in the first round or the second round that there are a lot of them that will go. And you never really know how they're going to pan out. There's no such thing as a sure thing when it comes to prospects, and certainly not among these quarterbacks. Seems like they all need development. And that's kind of where it gets a little scary, because you think then about if you put them in there too fast, can that actually screw them up as opposed to making them better? So
again, everybody's got their own notion on that, or whether or not you put them on the field week one and just let them take their bumps, or you let them sit for a year or two. I mean, that was the old school way, and it doesn't seem like that happens all that much anymore. Again, to each his own, and every program kind of gets a chance to decide that for themselves.
Coming up next, we'll talk NFL playoffs, the cheat sheet, the cliff notes. We're going to dive into it. Wildcard weekend is coming up, so Titans Chiefs on the clock.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Mariota play fake, going to screen it to Henry, out to the left. He's got room. To the 40, to the 45, to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, to the 30, to the 25, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. That's 66 yards!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That was a big reason why the Titans got by the Jacksonville Jaguars in week 17, the divisional matchup. It was a win and you're in situation. And the Titans did what they had to do. They secured an AFC wild card spot, and they are into the postseason for the first time since 2008. So cool. Mike Keith with the call on the Titans radio network. So that's the first game of this upcoming wild card weekend. The Tennessee Titans at the Kansas City Chiefs. After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. Who's a dark horse that you have some confidence in as we approach this wild card weekend? Well, we'll see if we're going to get some upsets and some upstarts making some noise to begin this postseason. We're excited to welcome Johnny Franks, who is a part of our Nashville affiliate, WNSR, hosts the afternoon show. Johnny, let's start with the month of December the Titans had. They lose three games before they win in week 17 to get in. What stands out about them and how they kind of stumbled through the final month of the regular season?
Well, I think it's twofold. First of all, offensively, the Titans have struggled to produce points. And then from a defensive standpoint, after that loss on the Thursday night in Pittsburgh, when the Titans lost 40-17, in the last six games, the Titans' defense have, you know, they've really been outstanding. You know, they've only allowed six touchdowns in those six games. You know, they've allowed a lot of field goals too. But, you know, for the most part, like just in the game against Jacksonville, the Titans won 15-10. The only touchdown scored by Jacksonville was on a botched handoff between Marcus Mariota and Derrick Henry that was taken all the way back. So when you look at the players and when you talk to them, I mean, you could just feel it in the locker room after the game on Sunday. It was a combination of several things. First, a relief getting the monkey off the back after,
sure,
you know, snapping that three-game losing streak. But this team is filled with confidence. You know, they know, I mean, especially the players that were on this team last year, they went into Kansas City last December of 2016 and came away with a victory. So they're not, you know, going, oh, my gosh, we got to take on Kansas City. This team is playing with a lot of confidence going into this matchup on Saturday.
One major bright spot for the defense has been Kevin Byard, who is the AFC Defensive Player of the Week for the second time this year. Also tied for the most interception in the NFL, a career year for him. Why such a breakout campaign?
Well, he was a ball hog when he was at MTSU. And of course, he played his college ball less than an hour away down the road. And although he didn't have the takeaways last year, here was an individual that does not act like a second-year player in the NFL. He plays with a lot of confidence, and I think that's going to be one of the keys on Saturday. You bring up Kevin Byard. You know, if you add the two fumble recoveries, he led the NFL with 10 total takeaways. But there's also at number three on that list, Marcus Peters from Kansas City, the cornerback. And to me, whichever of these players have the bigger game on Saturday afternoon, you could be talking about the team that advances to the divisional rounds.
The Chiefs will host the Titans in that wild card game coming up this weekend. And for the Titans, it's the first time in quite a while. And going into Arrowhead, as you mentioned, Johnny, it's a tough place to play, but they at least have the confidence that they've done it before. Johnny Franks is part of our CBS Sports Radio affiliate in Nashville, WNSR 560 AM and 95.9 FM. So, Johnny, the offense at times inconsistent at best, but at times has really sputtered. Let's start with the quarterback, Marcus Mariota. Where have you seen the greatest growth for him, but where do you also feel like he needs to continue to develop as a QB?
Well, I think for one thing, we look at this season for Marcus Mariota, and what makes Marcus special is his ability to also do damage with his legs. And, this year he's been, he's had to go through the injury bug at times, and he certainly showed what he could do with his legs in the win against Jacksonville on Sunday when he's healthy. He is a huge impact. But it's also, staying in nice contact with the wide receivers as well. I mean, veterans like Eric Decker did not have a particular good game against Jacksonville, dropped passes. For the offense to keep drives alive and keep Kansas City off the field, everybody's going to have to step up their game. The offensive line, the running backs, Marcus Mariota, and also the wide receivers.
We know that last week Derrick Henry was the feature back, and DeMarco Murray has been really limited with injury. What's his status? Do we know?
Well, he did not practice, yesterday or today. And, it's one of these things where he does have a tear in the MCL, but they're not ruling him out for Saturday. They're going to make every effort possible for DeMarco Murray to be a part of the lineup against the Chiefs on Saturday. One of the things I will say about Derrick Henry, he was big as far as taking the short pass for a 60-plus yard touchdown against Jacksonville. In fact, he's the only back in the NFL with three touchdowns of 65-plus yards this season, either running or catching the ball coming out of the backfield. But one of the things that he talked about was he played soft against Jacksonville, where he was hesitant to hit the holes. He was going east and west instead of going north and south. And you can't do that against a solid defense like Jacksonville brought to the table. But I think that, even in the short turnaround here, Derrick Henry can learn from those mistakes. And once he gets going and gets a full head of steam, he is faster than most people thought he would be coming out of Alabama.
There are a lot of guys on this roster that haven't been in the postseason yet. And, of course, the young guys fall into that category. But some of the veterans who have not yet tasted the playoffs, what does this mean to them to finally be in after almost a decade?
Oh, like Jarrell Casey, for one. I mean, he is ecstatic. But, here's the thing. We talk about the Titans. This is their first playoff appearance since 2008. But there's 18 players on this roster with playoff experience. I mean, you have Eric Walden. He's appeared in 12 playoff games. Logan Ryan owns a Super Bowl ring. He's been in 10 playoff games himself. Nose tackle Sly Williams won a Super Bowl with Denver. He's been in 7 playoff games. But 18 total players on this team with playoff experience. In fact, I talked to Sly Williams earlier today about that. And, it certainly helps when you have veterans in that locker room that helps prepare players that have never experienced a playoff game before.
Sure. Although I do like hearing guys like Brian Arakpo say, this is such a big deal. I never thought I'd get to this point. I mean, it's been a long time building, several years at least, since they picked so early in the draft and got Marcus Mariota at number two and trying to get the pieces around him. How close do you think they are to being a contender for the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Once you get to the playoffs, anybody can win.
I got it. They could certainly be a wild card winner and be a dark horse. But you got to admit, Johnny, if this team won the Super Bowl, it would be a massive stunner. You have to admit that.
Well, yes. I mean, obviously, when you look at the AFC side of things, you think New England, you think Pittsburgh, and then everybody else. Everybody understands that. But if one of the top two teams all of a sudden get upset, then it certainly, we've seen it in the past where upsets are possible. And look, this Tennessee Titans team, believe it or not, I mean, they certainly understand. They did not play well in that three-game losing streak, losing to Arizona, San Francisco, and to the Rams. But it's not like they were being blown out in those games. They lose by 5 to Arizona, 2 on a last-minute field goal by San Francisco, had their chances against the Rams, losing by 4. Last time I checked, the Rams, you know, certainly one of the darlings to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, so as far as picks are concerned. So it's not like the Titans have been blown out every game in their losses this year. You know, they come ready to play, and it's a little surprising for me to actually see the Titans 8-point underdogs against the Chiefs on Saturday.
I don't even pay attention to betting lines, but why don't I rephrase the question then? The defense obviously keeps them close in games. How close are they to being a complete team?
Well, and that's the big thing. It really centers and starts with Marcus Mariota. It also starts with that offensive line. Certainly an offensive line, bigger things were expected this year. They played solid last year with the bookends as far as the offensive tackles and Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin. They did not play like they were capable of playing, and certainly they're going to have to perform better as a unit if we are talking about the Titans having success in this year's playoffs. But as how far away? You know, time will tell on Saturday. If the Titans get blown out by the Chiefs, then certainly there needs to be some other changes made to this team. But at the same time, you know, it's one step. Are they one step ahead of last year? Last year they were 9-7, did not make the playoffs. This year they're 9-7, and their season is still going strong. And in fact, there's 20 other teams that wish they were in the position that the Titans face are facing, of course, on Saturday.
Absolutely love it. Defense travels, which means you will be a contender in any game if your defense can keep you close. All right, so you can follow Johnny on Twitter at BP Frank Show, and he is on the air in Nashville from 4 to 7 Central Time. That's our CBS Sports Radio affiliate, WNSR, on 560 AM and 95.9 FM. It's great to talk to you. I'm excited. I can't wait to see some of these teams in the AFC that are new that haven't been there in a while. It should be fun.
It will be fun, and, you know, you see the storyline with Jacksonville and Buffalo. Of course, Buffalo's last appearance was the Music City Miracle year of 99 when they came into Nashville and lost. And, of course, here's Jacksonville, you know, hosting their first playoff game since that 99 season. So it's always fun to get the new blood in there mixing with, like, the New England Patriots in Pittsburgh, for example.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Enjoy. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and thank you so much.
That's how I feel. It is cool to have some different teams into the playoffs, and I'm excited. How about you? Who do you think can be some dark horses and mix things up so it's not what you expect? It doesn't go according to script. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. That's 855-212-4227. Great news. You can save money by switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.